Praise God. Shall we just pray? Lord, we just thank you for your presence with us this day. And we thank you that you are a good Father. And that, Lord, you love us. And that, Lord, everything you will for us is out of your love for us. Everything that you do is motivated by love, because that's who you are. And Lord, we just look to you and we ask, Holy Spirit, now that you would just help us to receive from you. Help us to receive revelation from your word that will bring understanding, that will draw us closer into a deeper intimacy with God. In Jesus' name, amen. The subject I'm speaking on today is renewing your mind. And I don't know, I've been a Christian now for 52 years. And I gave my life to Jesus when I was just a very small child. And it was a real experience that I had. And I've gone through different stages in my life. But I've always known that God loves me. But sometimes I just felt that I just didn't measure up. Sometimes I felt like I wasn't good enough. But God, over the last few years, has been showing me that he's pleased. He's pleased with each one of us and that he loves us. And you know, when we're children, when we have when we're tiny, and we're just starting to take our first steps and we fall, our parents don't get angry with us for falling. Our parents help us up and stand us back on our feet and encourage us to keep trying, to keep come on, keep walking. And I believe that God is a good father. And you know, He helps us. He helps us at every different stage in our life. He's there to pick us up and help us. And you know, some of the falling is our own doing. You know, it's not always in God's plan for us to trip up and fall. It's never in God's plan for us to trip up and fall. No parent wants the child to trip up and fall and hurt themselves. But sometimes we just get off doing things on our own and we trip up and we fall, but God is always there to pick us up because he loves us. The text we're going to be looking at is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And in these verses, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, in these verses there are two steps that lead us into victorious Christian living, or as Jesus put it, abundant life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life abundantly. It's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life abundantly. And you know, life abundantly isn't eternal life in heaven. It's here and now on earth. We have eternal life, but here and now on earth, he wants us to live lives that are abundant, more than enough. And it's not talking about, you know, being a millionaire and living a lifestyle like that, and I don't care about anybody else. It's not that kind of super abundant life that God is talking about, but he's talking about that we lack nothing, that everything we need, he has already provided. And I often look back and at the story of creation, and God never put anything in the earth until he had provided for it. He didn't just plonk the animals in the sea, in the water, the vast water, before there was any earth. He didn't just plonk the animals when there was just earth. There was things growing. There was things for the animals to eat. He provided everything. He didn't plunge, he didn't put us all into a world that was full of darkness. He said, let there be light. And at each stage, there is order in creation. And God is a God of order, and he provides everything that we need before we need it. Before we need it. And that's one of the things that I hope comes across through everything I'm saying. There's some things that you might not have ever heard before. And, you know, I ask you just to do what I did and just take it to God and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand, to look at it further, to go deeper, to realize that we're at different stages. When Maria was giving a testimony, she said, I didn't understand it then, but I do now. She said that many times. I couldn't see it then, but I see it now. And that's a lot like our walk with God. We don't see something now, here and now. But as we stay with God, as we stay seeking him and looking to him for the answers that only he can give, he will bring revelation of his word by the Holy Spirit. He'll bring insight. He'll open the eyes of our heart. He'll open the eyes of our understanding so that we can see, so that we can know. And so in these verses, it talks about a transformation that comes about as we come into agreement more and more with what God says. I'll just find the verses and read it, and then we will. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we become a living sacrifice and as we renew our mind, we are seeking to let God to give us our reality. It's defined by what God says. Reality for the Christian is defined by what God says, not by what the world says, not by what man says, not by what experts say. Our reality is defined by what God says in his word. And God wants us to renew our minds in his word, to bring our thinking into line with his word, to come into agreement with God. That's what he's asking here. So the world doesn't dictate who we are. It's God. It's who he says we are. You can be a Christian. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't mean that you are a living sacrifice or that you have a renewed mind. Those things are not automatic. Those things are choices that we make. We can choose. And we need to choose to unconditionally surrender to God. And this isn't a one-off thing. This is a daily thing. It's a daily thing. We need to surrender unconditionally to God and his ways every day. We need to read and study and meditate on God's word so that truth becomes part of us, so that truth, our hearts are established in truth and our thinking comes in line with him. And renewing your mind isn't an instantaneous thing that happens. It's something that happens. It's a process that happens. And it's a lifelong process. And you won't stop renewing your mind till you see Jesus Christ face to face. It's been said that the greatest need right now in the church is that Christians renew their mind in God's word. Many Christians choose to be living sacrifices, but they don't choose to renew their mind in God's word. Or they'll lay down the life, they'll do anything. They'll go anywhere. and they'll become a living sacrifice, how they see it. But they don't renew their mind in God's word. But we need both. Paul urges us strongly to do both. The power we need to live the Christian life comes from the Holy Spirit inside us. It doesn't come from our mind. I'm not talking about positive thinking or mind over matter. I'm talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, what he does in and through us. It doesn't come from our mind, but it comes through our mind. So the mind is involved. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, it tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that means whatever thoughts are filling your mind, whatever you are continually thinking on, meditating on, and that can be worry as well, because all worry is meditating on the wrong thing. You're meditating on your problem. You're not meditating on God's word. And that's what worry is. You're just meditating on the wrong thing. You're filling your head with the wrong thoughts. This is why the mind truly is the battlefield. This is where Satan will attack. This is where the thoughts come. If he can get you to believe a lie, to think the wrong thing, he can take you down a road that you don't want to go. And we have to be aware that our thinking shapes our attitudes, shapes our opinions about God and about our life. Your thoughts determine how you see things. Your perspective determines or shapes your belief system. And then that will affect what you do and even affect the way that you pray. But our belief systems should be shaped and molded by what God says in his word. Not what we hear man say, not opinions of man, not doctrines of man, but what the Bible actually says. And each Christian needs to ask the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. We need to relate to the Holy Spirit more as a teacher, because that's what the Bible says he is. He has many different ministries to us, but one of them is that he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He is our teacher. You know, if you were to put some Christians alongside unbelievers, and then you had an identity parade to decide which was the Christian and which wasn't, you'd be hard-pressed sometimes to tell which person is a Christian and which person isn't. It's sad, because sometimes you can't see any difference in them. They're as sick as the world. They're as sick as unbelievers. They're as fearful as unbelievers. They're as worried as unbelievers. They listen and they take heed to what the experts say, man says, above what God says, just like unbelievers do. You cannot see the life of Jesus in them. You can't see this abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us, because their thinking is not lining up with what God says in his word. In fact, if they only knew it, their thinking is actually in opposition to what God says in his word. We often say things out of our mouth that have got nothing to do with God's word. We say things all the time, and words just roll off our tongue, and they're not, we're agreeing with something else other than God's word. As Christians, we need our thinking to be in agreement with God and his word. We get so caught up with our outer man, all its wants and its needs, that we forget about who we really are in our spirit, in our inner man. We need a revelation of all that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross through his death and resurrection. And we need to see the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, because we're blessed. Whether you know it or not, whether it looks like it or not, God says you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, who are you to disagree with God? Why do you say differently? Well, I'm not blessed. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. And on you go. And all the time, you're disagreeing with what God says. Whether it looks like it or not, who's telling the truth? Because God doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. Our feelings do. The way we feel can lie. Our feelings can tell us one thing, and God's word can tell us another thing. And very often, we follow what our feelings say instead of following what God says. So we need to see what Jesus Christ has deposited in our born-again spirit. When you were born again, you got a new body. You didn't get a new body, sorry. You didn't get a new body. I wish we did. You didn't get a new body, and you didn't get a new soul. You got a brand new spirit. And John is going to be speaking a little bit about that in the coming weeks. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. It doesn't say he is becoming a new creation. It doesn't say one of these days you will be a new creation. It says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. It's past tense. It's talking about something that's done, finished, eternally, eternally redeemed. We can get so worn out in our trying to do things in our own strength. We try to change ourselves, and we try to be more like Jesus by trying to do good stuff and trying daily every day. But it's much, 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 much more simpler than that. It's not easy, but it's much simpler than that. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's surrendering. It's surrendering to God. And it's renewing your mind in his word. And that brings about the change. That brings about the transformation. So many Christians are trying hard to live for Jesus, like I did, and then feel, you know, defeated and condemned when they fail. So many Christians are depending on their own strength, striving to be like Jesus, striving to understand his will for their life. But it's not about us trying to live for Jesus. It's about choosing to live at a deeper level of unconditional surrender to him and renewing our mind in his word. And then the transformation that takes place is by his power, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's by his power, not our endless striving. It's when we prove his will. The first thing you note about these verses is that it doesn't mention your spirit. It mentions your body and it mentions your soul, but not your spirit. I've said about our spirit, it's a completed work in our spirit. We're a brand new creation. You've never before existed. Brand new creation. When something is a brand new creation, it's never existed before. Something took place when you committed your life to Jesus Christ. Something took place in your spirit. That old sinful nature was taken out, gone, forever gone. And he put his new spirit within you. Now in your spirit, you are exactly like Jesus. You're exactly like him. Then if you look at, if you just turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now this, 2 Corinthians 3:18, is talking about our soul. And it says this, and we all with unveiled face, I'm reading from the Amplified, and we all with unveiled face continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord. Those two verses seem to clash, but not when you understand that one is speaking about your born-again spirit and one is speaking about your soul, which is in a process. The process of being changed from glory to glory, the process of becoming more and more like Jesus outside, where people can see it. The word transformed in this verse is the Greek word metamorpho. And we get our English word metamorphosis from this. And that's a process when a little furry caterpillar transforms into a beautiful butterfly or a tadpole or becomes a frog. As we look continually into the mirror of God's word, that's what these verses are saying. As we look continually into the mirror of God's word, and we behold the glory of the Lord that he has put in our born-again spirit, we will begin to reflect what we behold. We'll begin to reflect what we behold. We are changed from glory to glory. And this is speaking about the two covenants. The old covenant was a glorious covenant, but the new covenant is more glorious. It's a better covenant. That's what the Bible calls it. Moses had to wear a veil so that the people could look at him. They couldn't bear to look at the glory of the Lord that he had showing on his face. But we have unveiled faces, it says. The veil has been taken away in Christ. And as we turn from the condemnation of the old covenant, the law, in our thinking, and as we see the righteousness of God within us, who he has made us to be through the grace of Jesus Christ, it transforms us, the outer man, little by little, and we begin to reflect the glory that is on the inside of us. In the 70s, I remember there was a lot of Christian art around, and this artwork, posters or whatever it was in, consisted of caterpillars and butterflies. And the thing at the top of the poster would be New Life in Christ, and then it would have a butterfly on it. And then underneath it would have 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. But the Bible never, ever compares the new birth to the process of transformation from like what a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. But the Bible does use that illustration for the renewing of your mind, which is a process. The soul is in a process, but the new birth is instantaneous. It's not a process. It is a miracle of God, instantaneous miracle of God, the greatest miracle that mankind can experience. You do not become born again in stages and degrees. The moment you sincerely commit your life to Jesus Christ, you were saved instantaneously. Your spirit became alive to God, a brand new creation. You were taken from darkness to light, from one kingdom to another kingdom, and immediately your spirit became the righteousness of God in Christ, and you received a new ID. You have a new ID. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. He has passed. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do we access it? Through the knowledge of Him. It's through the Word of God that you understand who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. God has given us all things that we need for life and godliness, and we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are one in our spirits with His Spirit. That's what the Bible tells us. But how do we access these things that He has put in our spirit? Through the knowledge of God, through renewing your mind in His Word. You need to read and study and meditate and listen to God's Word. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. That's how faith comes. And as you simply commit yourself to being a living sacrifice and renewing your mind, the Holy Spirit, your teacher, will lead and guide you into all truth. He'll give you revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is very, very different to man's knowledge. If you just take knowledge into your head, it puffs you up with pride. You can argue your corner. You can put people straight because you know you've got it. You've got the information in your head. But you know, revelation knowledge comes from humbling ourselves before God. Many Christians pray, Lord, use me. But I have come to start praying, Lord, make me usable. Lord, make me usable. That's a very different prayer. Because sometimes we can say to God, Lord, use me, but we're not usable. We're not in surrender to God. And we're not renewing our mind in His Word. And therefore, we can get into all kinds of trouble. So, in His love, He won't use us. Not until we're usable. Revelation knowledge will make truth known to you. And that truth will set you free. So, it's different. It's not intellectual knowledge. It changes your thinking, it renews your mind, and it transforms your life. No longer will your perspective be carnal. That means, all carnal means is dependent on the five senses. So it won't be your five senses that tell you what the truth is. Your five senses deal in facts. God's word deals in truth. Five senses tell you can't march around a massive wall and then give a big shout and it'll fall down. God's word said it will. Do you see? Your five senses won't tell you, what's another example, that you'll walk into a burning fire and you'll come out and you won't even smell a smoke. Your five senses will say, you're dead, you've had it, you're gone. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible came out and they didn't even smell a smoke. And on and on it goes, showing us our five senses don't know everything. And we depend so much. We're trained to depend on our five senses. But they don't know everything. We need to renew our mind in the Word of God. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You're spiritually minded when you come into agreement with God's word. When your thinking starts to line up with God's word, that's when you're becoming spiritually minded. But carnally minded, you've just got your head somewhere else. When you're spiritually minded, you value God's word above all other words, and that your whole outlook on life will change, and even your prayer life will begin to change. You change from begging and pleading with God to do something, to move, God, move. God isn't stuck. We're stuck. We're the ones that get stuck. God isn't stuck. God wants to do more than we can ask or think. And he's there, and he's already done everything that we need. He's done it all. We just need to renew our mind in his word to understand that. When Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He was, beseech means, I urge you. I urge you strongly. Christians, brethren, that's who he was talking to, Christians. And he said, I urge you, Christians, all believers, by the mercies of God. He was talking about what God had done for us on the cross through Jesus and the grace of God. And he said, I urge you by the goodness and the kindness of that God has shown to you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present means yield, surrender. That you, out of your own free will, surrender to God's goodness, to God's mercy, surrender to God and his ways. The biggest difficulties I've had in my life of when I've chosen not to surrender to Jesus, and I've tried to work it out myself and do it my way, as Frank Sinatra used to sing. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We haven't got it in ourselves to direct our own steps. We weren't created that way. We were created to go God's way, to be unconditionally surrendered to his way. But that's your choice. Each individual, you choose. Nobody forces you, not even God. You choose. Unconditional surrender. It's a lifestyle. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledging him, and he'll direct your path. He's not going to force you to do that. But you know, this much I have learned in my long Christian life. But I know that the more that I understand, the more that I realize I don't understand. But one thing I do understand is that God's way is the best way, because his way works. So Paul said, this is your reasonable service, because it's because of his goodness to us. You know, this level of commitment isn't just for pastors and leaders. This is normal Christianity. This is normal life for the Christian, to be completely surrendered to God unconditionally, and to renew your mind in the Word of God. That is normal Christianity. Don't be conformed to this world simply means don't be squeezed into its mold. If we don't surrender to God, and if we fail to renew our minds, we will compromise. You will be squeezed into a mold. You choose the mold, but you will get squeezed into something. And if you compromise and you don't renew your mind in the Word of God, the world will squeeze you into its mold. It will put pressure on you to conform to its ways, to its thinking, to its values, to its standards. But we are not to be molded and shaped by this world, but we are to be molded and shaped by God's word. We can bring a lot of baggage with us when we become a new creation in Christ, when we ask Jesus into our life, we can bring a lot of baggage with us. And these things still need to be changed. We can bring wrong attitudes. We can bring wrong thinking. We can bring wrong opinions. And these things are all changed in the process of renewing your mind. The world sees things very differently. Sees things very differently to how God sees things. And one example is that the world doesn't see the value or the sanctity of life in the womb. But God's view of an unborn child is very different to the world's. The word tells us that we are skillfully knit together in our mother's womb, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He doesn't use the words like fetus, and he doesn't use the words like a bunch of cells. He calls each unborn child a son or a daughter. God filled Zechariah and Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist, filled him while he was still in his mother's womb. God didn't say, I will pour out my spirit on fetuses. I will pour out my spirit on blobs of cells. He said, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. And there's no condemnation from God in this. No matter where you've come from or what you've done, there's no condemnation. He loves us. Simply using this to show us that how vast, vast, vast difference is the world's way of thinking and God's way of thinking. That was just one example. There are many, many more that I could have chosen. But God sees things very differently to the world, and we as Christians need to see things the way that God sees things, and that comes through renewing your mind, being transformed. Where does the tadpole get its legs? They're inside it. They're inside it. It's not swimming along one day and suddenly it gets two legs stuck on it. The tadpole has legs inside it. Where does the caterpillar get its wings? They're inside it. And it goes through a process so that what is inside it, what it knows it is, can be seen on the outside. And it's just the same with us. The life of Christ is in us. Everything we are just like Jesus in our spirit. And if we will surrender our lives to him unconditionally, and if we will start the process of renewing our mind in Christ, what is on the inside will be seen on the outside. And then you'll be a butterfly. And we need a few more butterflies. We need people believing what God says, what God says in his word. And then you prove. Prove means you experience, you demonstrate his will. And his will is in his word. So get cracking, get on to that. Get into that process of renewing your mind in Christ and just surrendering everything to God. And you will see what God's will is about many, many subjects that you might have wrong thinking about. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Ruth. Let's just pray. We didn't take up an offering this morning because it just didn't seem right in where we're at with stuff.